Upgrade your laundry routine with a durable and reliable Maytag laundry pair at Lowe's. Like the new Maytag washer and dryer with performance-enhanced stain-fighting power designed to cut through serious dirt and grime. And what's great is this laundry pair is in stock and ready for delivery when you need it the most. Don't miss out. Shop Maytag in-store or online today at Lowe's.
This is the Friends of History Debating Society. I'm John Batchelor with Professor H.J. Mackinder, International Relations. Five capitals, five points of view. Kiev, these last days, a visit by the Prime Minister of Japan, Kishida. A major significant step for Ukraine, since it happened at the same time. Vladimir Putin and Xi Jinping were sitting down speaking obtusely in Moscow. Japan, not a member of NATO, is the most powerful state you could imagine to be a member of NATO in future. While she is talking about what are we going to do with Ukraine, Mr. Putin, someone is at his front door with history between Japan and China. The history is unhappy in most instances, but she must pay attention. Professor Keefe and Kishida together. Yes, there is the matter of calling off the offensive in Donbass. Yes, there's the matter of the question of Belarus getting nuclear weapons. Yes, that Russia is saying it's a long war going for 400,000, even more farm workers to delimit the harvest, two harvests, the spring harvest and the fall harvest. But there is this matter of Kiev looking to the future and looking to its allies. So Kiev's point of view after a week of tumultuous events.
Well, I think Kiev has a certain, they have a clear understanding that if they don't win, then their country is not going to exist anymore. I think that a number of the countries around them agree with that and will therefore stick with them regardless of what we do. And having Mr. Kishida go there is really very dramatic and important. Nobody knows what to make of it unless they have read history back before, say, 1950, much about Japan. But Japan, of course, made herself democratic. By 1925, she had exactly the same criteria for voting. There was full suffrage for adults, including women. There was no means test. They had a real democracy. Then they encountered an attempt by nationalist extremists, sort of crypto-fascists or whatever, to take over. And it has to be said that the Japanese fought a much harder and they sacrificed more of their top politicians to assassination and so forth. They really fought to keep the army from taking over. But in the end, the army had the guns, and they had slightly crazed leadership, and the army did. So I think that we have to recognize that the Japanese have principles that have been tested, and we must not imagine that. Well, we must realize that in the interwar period, the preoccupation of Japanese politics, defense politics, was how they could live in peace in what was really a very, very bad neighborhood. And there was a very important general and minister, Mr. Ugaki, who wrote a number of books about this issue. So they've thought about everything. And it's interesting that that if you poll Asian leaders, the country that they feel is sort of the toughest and the most realistic and the most reliable ally is Japan. And my own opinion is that Japan is very much a great power in the making, or it's really a great power already, and they are going to be the leaders in the Pacific. The amount of diplomacy that they're now doing is quite extraordinary. It used to be they just stayed home, and now they're all over the place, and they're giving money and all the rest. So this is a huge, this is the Kishida's visit is of great significance, also because it indicates that there's now a linkage between security in the East and the West, which makes sense because, as I say nearly every time we speak, I mean, there is a sign when you cross from Europe into Asia in the middle of Siberia, but you could move that sign 100 miles either way, and no, it wouldn't make any difference because it's all one continent. But Kiev's also, I'm very impressed by their relations with Sweden, and Sweden has just given them a huge package of weapons, and the Swedes make very, very good weapons, and they've given them almost $1 billion worth of them. The change in Sweden, which has been brought about by the change in Russia, is quite remarkable, and it's very, very important. On the other hand, Kyiv is still, she is hostage when it comes to money, to international loans, and to foreigners for supplies and finances. She has no military allies. The United States has adopted a policy of putting money in, but we don't really have a theory of victory, as is called by strategists. And I think that we're a little bit like FDR in World War II. It's hard to know, but I think he thought that he could win the whole thing and finesse it just by supplying lend-lease and so forth. But he discovered that Churchill was, to some extent, blowing smoke when it came to give us the tools and we will finish the job. I mean, Britain did not have what it would take. But this is a very appealing idea. It's very much like the idea of Pitt the Younger about how to fight Napoleon. The phrase, self-congratulatory phrase they used was, use sovereigns, i.e. find gold coins to buy sovereigns, i.e. rulers of foreign countries, to fight Napoleon for them. But in fact, that never worked. And it was only when the British put troops on the ground and they got Marlborough, you got these people in charge, and they then were able to defeat Napoleon. But if they had simply been using money, they never would have done it. And we've got ourselves in this situation where an attempt has been made to separate the war and the financing of the war from really from American politics or world politics. We have no concept of where we're going. That said, there are a lot of reasons the Ukrainians can be optimistic. I think that it Bakhmut reports are that they're beginning to prevail. And one of the reasons that the Russians are not having this offensive is that it may be very unpopular in Russia to have another 400,000 young men killed. I mean, more than 1 million young Russians have fled the country because they don't want to be drafted. Putin, as I've said, he's looking for a shortcut because they can't do what Shoigu wants to do, which is to fully modernize, clean up the corruption, get Russian military production working. They can't do it both because of the nature of the regime and also because of the sanctions that we have against them. The Ukrainians, on the other hand, are sort of calmly going about the business of defeating the Russians militarily. And unless they're, and I think Putin understands this, and he's going to lose unless ammunition falls out of the sky, like, you know, manna from heaven. And now that Mr. Xi has gone back without even agreeing to a pipeline, I think that he understands that he's in a difficult position. So he's swinging wildly, but I don't think the Ukrainians are going to be intimidated by that, although we Americans may well be, and I think the Western Europeans may well be also.
Yes, let's go to Brussels, headquarters of NATO and the European Union during a banking crisis. Professor H.J. Mackinder, International Relations, 5 capitals, 5 points of view. This is the Friends of History Debating Society. I'm John Batchelor.
It's Cybersecurity Awareness Month. LifeLock is here with tips to help protect your identity. Use strong passwords, set up multi-factor authentication, report scams, and update your software. And for comprehensive identity protection, LifeLock is your best choice. LifeLock alerts you to suspicious uses of your personal information and fixes identity theft, guaranteed, or your money back. Start your protection today with a 30-day free trial at LifeLock.com. Use promo code NEWS. Terms apply.